What's up, lads? Welcome back to Stala. We're here, we're live, and Joe has a big head on him. Like, Joe, why aren't you talking to me?
Because you're not on Stala, Darren.
Darren, what are you doing? This isn't our room.
What do you mean it's not our room, Calvin? I literally just walked in the door. These are their chairs for the podcast. I recognise the chairs, like.
You walked into the wrong podcast. You had to hijack our recording, Darren.
No, I haven't. Joe, will you tell him?
Darren, if I'm over here, who are you talking to over there?
Stop you, will you? I'm recording a podcast.
No, seriously. What did you think this was? Did you not notice the two different people sitting in front of you?
Darren, this is actually very concerning. We're supposed to be in Studio B. We're 10 minutes late.
Now, hold on. Have I just been recording with these two lads the whole time, the talking bollocks fellas?
Every second of it.
Ah, for f***.
Mate, I think it's time.
For what?
Take out the Specsavers.
That's what I need, is a pair of glasses, isn't it?
Should have gone to Specsavers. Darren.
All right, we get it, Calvin. Go loud.
Would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
Ooh, what number is this?
So this is 261.
261. 261.
That's not the song, is it?
Wait till you get to 269 and the Goose Drank Wine. That's what I'm looking forward to. Are you going to do it?
It's 369, is it?
369. Oh, sorry. Fuck. Okay, we'll get to 369. We'll do it then. But this is 261. What rhyme would you come up for 261? 261. A seagull's bum. Yeah.
Tenerife is done.
Ain't no fun.
Own it.
I'm going to.
I'm going to.
Oh, stop. 261. Welcome. Jesus.
261.
Welcome
to the podcast.
I'm going to welcome you to the podcast.
That's not even what I was going to say.
I know what you were going to say. You were going to say welcome to the podcast. You were going to say welcome back to me.
Welcome back to me. Welcome back to you. Welcome back to Ed.
We're all welcome.
We're all very welcome. I feel welcome.
Do you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mamma mia. Here I go again.
Ed's wearing an Abba. I opened my legs too wide there.
Oh, just as you said Abba, you spread your legs wide open. And I went, Mamma Mia.
Ed's wearing an Abba t-shirt today.
Are you wearing boxers?
No.
Are you not?
No.
Are you like commando now?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
It's too hot out. Yeah, look.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
There's boxers on.
Jesus. There is boxers.
Boy,
I'm just saying because the shorts are so short that I'm...
Are they too short?
And I can't see... Kind of, it's... You know, with the heat, you know, people are wearing shorter and shorter clothes and I don't know where to be looking. I don't know where I'm allowed to look.
Yeah, I've noticed the two of you is looking down there.
Yeah.
The
for like the last hour.
Eyes on the prize.
This, we do the intro at the end.
Actually, I'm trying not to stare. Take it as a compliment.
I will.
Take it as a compliment. Oh, he's tensing his look.
Joe, you're in full black jeans and full button-down shirt.
I thought you
Oh, no, it's a hoodie, jumper. Sorry.
I thought you would have been in a shorts and a t-shirt.
Am I not roasting? No, it's bleeding freezing.
Yeah, it's cold in here. But
24 degrees, though. Are you not warming that outside?
No, because I'm on the scooter.
Will we get into this episode then?
Yeah.
Go out for it. Steer us in there, Ed.
And we're in.
Here we are now. Oh, it feels different. It's a different...
Please stop it.
Feels like I've went into dimension.
No. Are you sure? Are you sure?
Please stop. Joe, how was the holiday?
The holiday? I mean, it was... I was saying to Darren out on the balcony that I wouldn't go back. He didn't like it either when he was there the last time.
That was my second home for a few years.
Yeah.
And he gone off it?
11 Reef. It wasn't great last time now. Lost its charm for me.
And Joe, you're saying that the welcome wasn't the warmest.
The welcome wasn't the warmest. Like we had the police called on us two times because we were arguing with taxi drivers and waiters. And they would just treat you like absolute dirt.
Trying to fleece them.
Like, I felt like I was being scammed. We'd go to a restaurant and there'd be bread on the table and stuff like that. And then you get the bill at the end and it'd be €3 extra for every piece of bread that was put on the table.
Really?
I was like, you cheeky little bastards. Mm. And then they don't bring out a dessert menu. They bring out the desserts.
Oh,
and with no price or anything like that. So then the kids are seeing the desserts in front of them. And you don't fucking want this shit. You don't want it anyway because you know you're being scammed. And they're bringing it out on the tray. And like the kids are taking it. And it's like, oh, they touched it now. You have to pay for it. I'm like, you fucking prick, you. Mm. You know what you're doing. Like, you know exactly what you're doing. And I just felt like, I felt used. I felt trashy. Like, they just want to take your money and then fuck off.
They're trying to sweep out the tourists over there.
They hate the tourists. They absolutely hate the tourists.
What's the long game here as regards word will get out? Say, for example, the two of you are never going back.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Well, never say
no. Would you go back?
Not anytime soon. Yeah. Like,
so they've lost two.
I'll go away next year, but won't be there. Yeah. They've lost two fucking big spenders.
Two of the big hitters. It's like in the film Casino.
Yeah.
You know, when the lad arrives, the high rollers. They've lost two of those.
Definitely. Yeah. We gone. We out.
What's the end game here? That this is...
I don't think the Brits care. The end game is... Okay, so what the problem that the residents have is over-tourism. It's not tourists in general.
I get it, yeah.
When they protest, they say it's about over-tourism.
Mm.
So they just kind of want to bring the numbers down. So that's what they're doing. I think they're treating people like crap. Just to kind of turn them off coming back.
A cull.
A bit of a cull, yeah. Mm.
They're intentionally doing it.
I mean, it was
but when does it stop? Like, when do they know to go, okay, that's enough, lads, and they kind of, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
That bread's free. When does the bread get free again?
Yeah.
Yeah, when's the sangria cheap again?
It was a great place years ago.
Well, yeah.
You'd like, it's one of them places where you'd come home and you're like, can't wait to go back there next year.
Mm.
And they tore the arse out of it.
Where's next? Where's the next hotspot?
I tell you where it is. It's currently the hotspot. Albania.
Hey. 100%.
I heard that.
The Albanian Riviera.
Mm, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how long is it before they start charging for each piece of
bread? So this is what I'm hearing, is that as soon as you hear about it, it's too late kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know when you hear about like, oh, that pub or that club or, well, not club anymore.
I think it's on the cusp though. I think it's on the tipping point. I think give it a year
and
everyone's going to be going to Albania.
It's happening now though.
Yeah.
So my pal... I'd recommend it. He usually goes to Italy with his wife, and I said, go somewhere else, man. Like 5 years, and Italy is incredible, but like what I'm hearing, Paul, on the street, Albania, that's the word on the street, that's the place to go. He goes, alright, tickets, flights to Albania for the two of them, 800 quid.
Ooh.
And he went, what the fuck, Ed? And I was like, shit, word's out.
Yeah, we missed the boat.
Yeah, so it's almost too late. That, but the issue people are having is it is stunning. The water is azure blue. It's absolutely stunning. The scenery, the beach is incredible.
Have you been?
No, but I've just been reading a lot about it.
Same.
And unfortunately, they haven't caught up with the demand as regards the infrastructure. And the tourism business over there isn't quite there yet.
Yeah.
For the amount of interest that's been shown on it. So prices are going up. So what they're doing, this is always what happens. They'll start, well, we can charge more now for that. And one of the reasons people were flocking there is that, oh, it's €2 for a pint. And so that's slowly creeping up, but I'd still get there. It looks astonishing. But Albania, lads, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think that's the next, I think Albania.
I heard loads of people saying that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Then I was like, Albania just doesn't seem very...
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not summer all year round like the Canary Islands.
They just get a summer.
They get a summer, and then like in the winter, it's like 15 or 16, but it's not like you take your top off.
Mm.
I think once the Brits get their hands on it, you know, once the Brits start retiring to Albania, that's when
it feels like you said out there about Tenerife. It feels like, remember you used to have that card where you're like, I'm Irish.
Yeah.
I'm Irish. Like, you know, if like someone from there is like, oh, do you want to buy this jersey? Or come in, have a look in the shop. And then they're like, where are you from? And you're like, Ireland. But they presume you're from Britain, like the UK. And then you're like, yeah, no, I'm Irish. And they're like, oh, Irish, yeah, fucking Coolockers. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you know these places?
Whoop-de-dubs. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, cool, you know this.
That ticket seems to be gone as well. They're just fed up with everyone.
Yeah. Do you know where else is happening? If you have a few quid, I'd say invest in Albania for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cyprus.
Oh, yeah.
Cyprus.
You ever there?
Happening.
I was in Cyprus, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm.
And cheap.
Crete's lovely. I just, the Greek islands and Greece is my number one. If I was to win a 1,000 billion.
We might as well tell everyone it's sponsored by Love Holidays.
Get two holidays.
That died a death, didn't it?
But she did make bank. Oh, that, I think, what's her name again, the singer of that song?
Who?
The song from Jet 2 Holidays. Anyway, she's made serious money at the back of that trend.
Is that a song? It's not a song. It's just like an ad.
Jess Glynn.
Jess Glynn, yeah. Because now it's the song over. Nothing beats a Jess. It's like...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Nothing beats a Jess. She made a lot of money off that then?
She's made a fortune, yeah.
Fuck's sake.
But they would have originally just took that soundbite, wouldn't they have? Oh, that's not a soundbite. It's not her saying it, isn't it? No? It's just they're using her instrumental.
Here it is.
Oh, she actually done an ad for them, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. That's on.
She just changed the lyrics and made, like, they wanted to do an ad with it.
They used the ad as the soundtrack.
Yeah,
the song is the soundtrack of the ad.
That is her saying nothing beats a Jet Who.
No, it's not her. That's a voiceover lady, yeah.
But they got copyright to use her tune, like.
Yeah, to use the song in the ad, yeah. You know, it's fairly standard.
Yeah, just
they didn't realise it was going to be...
So viral.
TikTok viral, yeah. And it's still charting, I think. As a result.
I haven't seen any of them lately, though.
Yeah. Oh, the trend itself is probably over, but...
Even the very good... I seen the very good, very nice guy over there, and I just wasn't even bothered.
Yeah.
And nobody was bothered. Nobody seemed to care. It's
well, like he had a tenner or something, doesn't he, to do a video for him?
Yeah, but I mean, if it was still trendy, that'd be worth it.
He's like an in-person cameo.
Yeah.
Mm. There's loads of people copying.
Are you still doing the cameos?
Yeah, I done one this morning.
Did you? What did you say?
Ask someone to be godfather to a kid.
Yeah. That's so weird. It's like,
mad,
and then
it?
They like tag you on, when they get the video, they tag you on Instagram. They're like, this is deadly. I'm like, that's mad.
So they send you the script?
Yeah. But when you're recording it, it comes up on the screen, like, so you can just look at it and be like,
that is amazing.
Remember Nigel Farage doing one saying, up the raw.
Up the raw.
Up the raw.
Ooh, la la. Say boom. Come on, come on now. We headbutted a seagull today.
As you do.
Give him a loaf.
While you were on the scooter?
I was on the scooter and the seagull was kind of like swooping down. And I was like, I was going to duck, but the wings were too big. I just couldn't get out of the way. And I says, I'm not just going to let it hit me. So I needed to lean in. I had to lean into it. And I went like that and I gave it a laugh.
Did you really?
Laugh the head.
Did you feel it hitting your head? Like,
I gave it a proper laugh.
Into the face or the body?
Right there.
Head on. No, but
I don't know what it was. It was just kind of like all of it. It was like right there.
You headbutted its ass.
He was panicking. It's like he didn't know either. So it's just like this. And I went, get out.
It's like when you're going the same direction as someone and you're just dancing.
I was going too fast. I was going too fast to stop and I couldn't swerve out of the way because the traffic was there. So I was like, I'm just going to have to give him a headbutt. And I gave him a loaf.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
That's one for the books.
He survived, like, I'm assuming, did he?
I don't know.
They survive aunt and them things.
With my loaf?
Yeah,
I doubt it.
Just like a burst of feathers. Like a Looney Tune.
Boom.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus is right.
I wish... It was filmed. I hope that's on a dash cam somewhere on someone's car.
That'd go viral.
Oh my God, 100%.
Well, talk about a viral video.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday.
Standing in.
Right now, you can get. Because it is sunny, so it could be mistaken for a different country, like you're in Spain somewhere on a scooter.
Feels like, the heat is different here, though, isn't it? It's like sharper. I don't know how to describe it.
Kind of hurts.
Yeah, it's like needly.
Yeah.
It's like here a or in Spain, you're saying Spain's a bit duller.
It's like getting a tattoo, is it?
Spain, the sun kind of sits on your shoulders and holds you down.
Hugs you and kind of be like,
yeah.
Try my bread.
Like you sweat in Spain, but here I feel like you don't sweat, it just stings you.
No, go on, yeah.
Is that weird?
No.
Oh, you do
like
sweat.
It stabs you.
You do sweat.
Here?
Oh, at night time, kill you.
Mm. Oh, well, at night time it's very uncomfortable, yeah. We're not, we don't have air conditioning in this country.
I do.
You have one of them, they cost your fortune.
I got them all fitted last week in every room.
Oh my God.
Done an ad for them. I'm posting it next week, money messing. No, I bought one of them industrial ones. The plug in. Sorry, no, industrial. Yeah, no. No, I got a big industrial one, yeah. No, I just got one of them ones where you put the pipe out the window. They're fucking class.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That is like an industrial one.
Is it?
Yeah, how much is that?
The industrial ones are the ones that like... You'd get in a hotel now. Like,
installed in
a
wall.
It's installed through the whole hotel. Would that not be more industrial?
Yeah, I think pipe out the window is fairly hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty industrial.
Is it?
I think so.
Industrious.
380 it was.
It's not bad.
Had to need to plug it in.
Plug it in and then stick the pipe out the window.
Cost your fortune when you look at your electricity bill.
I know, yeah.
Is it heavy on the juice? You haven't changed
Yeah, I've noticed that the meter's beeping a lot more regular.
£20 a day. Nah. I'd say they'd run
50,
up.
50 quid every 2 days.
Thereabouts. Even the Dyson ones, you know, the Dyson ones that...
I have one of them years. They're shite.
Like. I know, he said they're shite, yeah. But they cost like £5 a day if you run them.
So what it is?
See, they're not doing anything for you because it's just fucking... It's just like a fan. Like, fans are shite, like.
Yeah.
You need the pipe to go out the window to suck the hot air out of the house, like, and then through the fucking ventilator that's in it, like, and then, like, when you're standing beside it, it's ice cold, like.
That's nice.
It's great.
That is nice.
Well worth the purchase.
Is it in the bedroom?
It's in whatever room it needs to be in. Is like, whatever noisy? Room we're in, that's in.
Is it noisy?
Yeah, but, like, it's bearable, like, you know, you're not going to get something. Like, if it was silent and it was letting out cold air and your whole house is fucking really cool in the summer, there'd be something wrong. You can't have the best of both worlds, like.
I suppose, yeah.
But it's class.
Is it?
It really is great. Like, I'd highly recommend it.
If you left it in one room and just opened all the doors, would it fill the whole house?
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Oh.
And the fella in the shop told me that that would happen as well, but I didn't.
Soldier a goose.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase?
No. Soldier a goose.
But today I only realised, last night I was watching the match and I realised if you close the door and leave the fan on or the air conditioning thing on, the room is like fucking ice cold. Like, it's crazy. It's amazing. Should get one.
I want to do something especially for the bedroom because I can't sleep in it.
See, I can't even put it on at night in the bedroom because I'm bottom floor, like. So I just have my window open, people walking by and stuff.
Yeah.
Wouldn't chance it. Never know.
Oh yeah.
So it'd be handy for you out the window at night.
If you didn't put it out the window, it'd still blow cold air at you, no?
No, because it's just blowing whatever air is in the room or in your house, which is hot air.
What's it pumping out the back on the pipe, the warm air?
It's sucking. On the side, there's like, it's sucking the air from in the house, like.
Through
the machine and out the pipe, out the house, like. And if you go around outside the house and stand in front of that pipe, the air coming out the end of the pipe is roasting.
Ah. That's weird, isn't it?
And like the air coming out of the machine into your bedroom or your sitting room is cold. It's fucking mad science, like. Science is mad, man.
Technology.
Well, honestly, it'd be handy at night, especially if you have stairs in your house.
I feel like there should be an easier way to... I feel like if you got... Is this a thing? Can you just get loads of ice and then just blow a fan behind the ice? Would that blow cold air?
Put it in a bag.
Seemingly, that's what the crack is. You put a bowl of ice behind.
That's just hassle, isn't it? Just
is it?
Go past all that and just bite the bullet and buy the fucking machine that does the job straight away.
Is it big?
It's like this room.
It's funky.
It'd be about the height of that.
Oof.
But like it's about that width. Like, it's fine. You could, when you're done with it, like, you put it in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
And the pipe like goes down as well when you... It's like a fucking...
Like a concertina.
What are the oaks?
An accordion.
Accordion.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, in Crow Park. And you're just waiting for them to get in the nip, but then you realise everyone's recording you.
So you enjoyed the match then in cold air last night?
Yeah. In the first half until fucking Love Island came on. Mad that Charlaine Murphy's in that, isn't it?
She's gone.
I know, but it was mad.
Yeah, it was weird, yeah. It kind of made me realise how fake it was.
Why?
I just seen a clip of Charlaine and... I didn't watch it all. I just seen clips online because I was away at the time. And she came in Cassett Moore and she got with this fella and then brought back to the main villa. And then the fella dumped her and went back with the original girl, yeah? But then they sat down and they had this conversation and she's like, oh, you're dumping me or whatever? Like, and he's kind of like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, I think I made a mistake. And she's like, oh, I'm a mistake, am I? And it just kind of felt like clawing for con... Like, it felt like the producers sat them there.
In a way, isn't it? That, like, they're going to edit it that way.
Well,
like,
I think that's telling them.
4 hours in the day. Like,
the producers are saying, right, you two sit down there now and... you're after breaking up a whore and let's have that conversation.
I'd love to fucking know if that's how it's done. I presume it is. Has to be.
100%, yeah.
Script, not a script word for word. It's just like, this scenario needs to happen. You need to have this conversation. Like,
yeah. And I think the producers are thinking of it on the fly as well. They're like, okay, like based on the votes and stuff coming in, the phone votes are like, okay, the popularity here is up there. She's doing really well and everyone online is saying they should get together, so we'll put them together or maybe we'll keep them apart and create this kind of love triangle. Mm. So I think they are doing it on the fly, but they're definitely...
manoeuvring it.
Okay, everyone dance now. Everyone cheers.
Dance
everyone
now, I'm not having you at dinner. All right.
Everyone lift your glasses.
It's like that old carny trick where they'd have the dancing chickens and they just heat up the floor of the cage.
Yeah.
So they have to lift their feet. And they probably put an electric current on the seat so they all have to jump up and... or make the floor really hot so they have to go for a swim.
I would say it's really uncomfortable. I don't know. I just think it's a really weird environment for people.
I'd be watching it with Amy, like, and the conversations are just not real. It's like, if you met them in a pub or a nightclub or fucking somewhere in a park, anywhere, they're not going to be sitting down just going, "What love language are you like? What's your body count?" Like, you know what I mean? That's not real conversation.
Yeah, people don't do that.
You just say like, "How's it going? Where are you from?" or something. Maybe
it's like there's two meeting over there, and everyone's just staring at them. Yeah. it's so fucking weird.
Do you want a neck on? I'm walking my dog. Like.
Do you want a neck on?
Are you mugging me off?
I'm fucking walking around the park with my dog and you're asking to meet me. No, but I seen it in Love Island last night. I thought that's how you do it. I've never been with anyone
I
before.
Saw this documentary last night.
That's how they were doing it really in the villa.
They have so little to talk about that they talk about how good they are at talking to each other. Yeah. I really love your banter. We have good banter together.
Yeah, you have really great eye contact.
You're very good at looking at me.
I'd be looking at the fucking swimming pool the whole time, they thought.
I'd love to see you on Love Island. Oh my God.
Okay, jeez. Everyone go into the bedrooms now and get ready.
Darren standing beside the aircon. Nice unit. Jeez,
how do you do it, lads?
Nice unit.
Sweating.
How do you do it, lads? How do you do it?
It would be fun to go on.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. We should do a Go Loud Love Island and see how it goes.
We should do a fucking Love Island podcast. Debrief.
I'm surprised that doesn't exist.
There was one.
The two of you should do one. It'd be absolutely astonishing.
We don't need any more fucking podcasts.
More podcasts.
Well, there's more podcasts out now at this stage.
Maximum podcasting, but I think there's something in it. People. I've never watched it, but my sister's obsessed. But my theory is that...
You go away with your culture.
I haven't, never, no, but what I'll say is, do you remember the first series of Big Brother? Mm-hmm. The first two series, maybe even three. It was such a new format that people went in and they were very much themselves.
Yeah.
It was actually almost a social experiment. It was genuinely interesting.
Then Mark O'Neill.
And then the young people were born into that world. So 20 years later, they're born into the reality TV universe and what works, what doesn't. And their brains are wired for reality TV shows. So they go on and they know what to do. Mm. They have the rhythm of it. They have the language, the banter, whatever the fuck. And they're completely unnatural. They're creations of this new thwarted and distorted reality, as we call it.
But the producers have a duty of care now. Whereas
duty of care.
I know. They have a duty of care. Mm. And it's the same at Love Island. Like, they're not allowed to drink more than like two or three glasses of champagne. It's the same with Big Brother. You're not allowed to have...
When Love Island first started, they were getting locked.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
Yeah. But it stopped then. Did somebody kill themselves after Love Island?
There's been quite a few related
that's when
deaths, yeah.
That's when the kind of duty
The abuse they get is just beyond belief.
It's great.
Like, if you're on social media, like, they do get a lot of abuse.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine what it's like when you come out there and you just go on your phone, like...
Ooh.
Brutal.
That Irish fellow, what's his name? Fitzy?
Sean.
He was in it and, like, there was memes going around that the board he's with is, like, Baby Reindeer, and they were, like, photoshopping, like, scenes from that programme with the two of them and all. I'm like, man, imagine coming out and just saying that shit. I'd be like, why the fuck did I go in there?
I'd want to stay. I don't know. I feel like if you are that famous, I feel like if you got to a point where you are that famous, I wouldn't even go on Instagram. I'd get a social media manager and I'd let them take care of me.
But the worst part, you would have to get somebody in because that's where they're making their money, is in brand deals.
Yeah.
That's they're put on 200,000 followers. They've got to monetize that. But whatever we think about the social media stuff, imagine walking down the street, going for a pint.
I don't think you get so much.
I think you do, yeah.
Do you think so?
I'd imagine, yeah. You get some fucking somebody's always going to say something. If you're a particularly controversial figure on the show, or you know,
yeah,
you're going to get some lad coming up.
Do you ever kind of get cheeky with someone at school, or it's that feeling where you're kind of afraid? You know that he could be waiting outside or something like that. Like, oh yeah. Fuck, I'm bleeding. I'm afraid to go outside now in case that seagull's waiting for me.
I remember being in computers and we were mixed with another class, like 2 years under us. But like, yeah, mum wanted my computer. And I was like, no. He's like, yeah, well, I'm going to whip it around with a spring baton after school. I was like, this fella's like fucking 12. Bollocks. Like, the whole day I was shitting, like. He didn't hit me with a spring baton, but the thought was there, like. The fear was there.
The anxiety, like.
I have to fight. Yeah. I'm going to have to fight now.
This 12-year-old. Yeah. With a spring baton.
Know that feeling you get in your chest where it's like, I have to have a fight. I'm going to have to fight now.
I wonder if fighters get that. Like, I wonder if boxers get that. MMA fighters and stuff like that. I wonder if they're walking out and they're like, oh God, I have to bleed and
take a beat.
Or like football or anyone. Sports people in general, like, do they have that? Or are they just accustomed to...
I wonder, often wonder about footballers and they get like a hamstring and they're out for 4 or 5 months. There must be footballers going, yeah, brilliant.
That they get a little break?
Yeah. Don't have to work for 5 months. There must be some of them going, that's a relief. That gets me to the end of the season. finish up in January after Christmas.
You know, I don't know. You want to play.
I'd say there's some that just go, grand.
Yeah.
Now, the rehab's probably as bad.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine that
they have everything.
They're off the hook for a few months.
Like, it'd take us 10 years to recover from that. It'd take them 6 months.
Yeah.
Because of all the facilities.
Yeah.
We'd probably never recover from it.
No.
You'd be walking around like fucking with a limp and all.
I went over my ankle when I was in Amsterdam. Remember I went to Amsterdam a few weeks ago? And my ankle's still not the same.
If you were a footballer, that would have been sorted.
Yeah. Stem cells.
Yeah.
Inject that with stem cells.
It'd be in one of them lovely swimming pools, just walking in it.
Yeah. Or a big boot where you just kind of suck all the air out. And,
yeah.
Oh, that would be nice.
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't it?
What's up, lads? Welcome back to Stále. We're here, we're live, and Joe has a big head on him. Like,
Joe, why aren't you talking to me?
Because you're not on Stále, Darren.
Darren, what are you doing? This isn't our room.
What do you mean it's not our room, Calvin? I literally just walked in the door. These are their chairs for the podcast. I recognise the chairs, like.
You walked into the wrong podcast. You had to hijack our recording, Darren.
No, I haven't. Joe, will you tell him?
Darren, if I'm over here, who are you talking to over there?
Stop you, William. I'm recording a podcast.
No, seriously. What did you think this was? Did you not notice the two different people sitting in front of you?
Darren, this is actually very concerning. We're supposed to be in Studio B. We're 10 minutes late.
Now, hold on. Have I just been recording with these two lads the whole time? The talking bollocks, fellas?
Every second of it.
Ah, for
mate, I think it's time.
For what?
Take out the Specsavers.
That's what I need, is a pair of glasses, isn't it?
Should have gone to Specsavers. Darren.
All right, we get it, Calvin.
Darren, I've seen some iconic duos in my time.
Keane and Kel.
Podge and Rog.
Oh.
Spice Bag and Curry Sauce.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we have a new contender for Ireland's new favourite duo.
Don't tell me you've replaced me, have you, Joe? I wouldn't like... No.
I wouldn't lie to you, Darren.
Wouldn't like that.
I'm considering it, but it's not that. It's the new Cadbury Dairy Milk Biscoff Bar. We're talking the classic creamy dairy milk we grew up on, but it's met its match with that caramelised Biscoff crunch.
It's two different worlds colliding in one bar, is it?
You could say that again.
Literally love a first boy, says you.
Ooh, says me. For you.
How can I compete with that, Joe?
Well, you can't. And it's not a limited edition job either. It's here to stay. So next time you're in the shop, skip the bar and stuff and grab the new icon. Cadbury and Biscoff, the partnership we actually needed.
Are you giving me the chop?
Your two squares gone.
I'll have a bit of that.
Will you?
Yeah.
Not mine. You won't have mine.
Fair.
Get your name.
I will.
Get your name.
I will.
Would you like to be a footballer? Do you think it'd be a good life?
No. Yeah.
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 You think?
I mean,
the money, yeah.
The money be good.
The money for sure. The fame, no. I think, again, you'd be hated. Very hated. You wouldn't be able to drink or anything. You wouldn't be able to party or... I think...
I start a row in a pub or anything. You wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
I think a lot of people get into the lifestyle of football for the fame and the money and the women and the cars and the lifestyle. But I think it's so relentless. I think football is so relentless that you wouldn't even get to enjoy any of that.
That's what I'm thinking, you know, that... Do you see Oscar came out recently? They asked him, Because he was one. Remember, there was a big wave of players going to China.
Who's Oscar? Oh, the footballer.
The Brazilian footballer. And like before the Middle East or Saudi, China was the one that they were pumping money into. He made 150 million in the couple of years he was in China on the salary that they offered him. And he said he never touched it.
Ooh.
He was able to live really well on the sponsorship deals and all the side hustles.
Yeah.
Mm. And he put all that money into an account that never went near it. So now he's got...
That's the most footballers would... That's what they're doing, like. That money's just gone straight away. They've got the house. They don't have
like any... Like Dele Alli now. Do you reckon he's set for life?
Who?
Dele Alli.
Dele Alli?
Yeah.
Is he?
I mean, unless they squandered on money.
His career's quite...
But he's finished. Like,
he's made so much money, though.
But you've made enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd make enough as a footballer in a month to retire. Like, there's people that work their whole lives and they retire with maybe 250 grand or something like that in savings. They get that in a week. 2 weeks.
But he's not earning money now.
But his money is earning money. Mm. If he has that in a savings account and he's earning 1% on the money that he's earned.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Then he's doing grand, like... Dele Alli.
Yeah.
Do you think he's doing all right? I hope so.
I worry about him. What a waste.
Oh, Dele. Like, I'd be there with Al Foran.
Yeah.
He just knows every... He's an encyclopedia of Manchester United.
I went on to their podcast when he was in here with Damian Broderick and I went on as a guest and they were like talking about like, do you remember that goal in like 1906 when George Best fucking headed it down to... Dennis Law or something. I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, that was a good one. Love that one. All time, man. Yeah, top 10 goals of all time.
They could tell you about the academy players and all and who scored in the academy under 16s or something.
There's like, a fella there coming up in the academy under fucking sixes. His name is JJ Gabriel.
Keep an eye out for him. He's going to be big.
There's a couple they're tracking and I think if they have a baby... It's gonna be. I've seen your man's legs. If they get his legs, and her sense of space. Jesus, Al, relax.
Oh man,
no, it's hardcore. Those fellas, like same with horse racing. Some people that are into. If you're into the horse racing, it's a level of genius at play there. Then
golf as well.
Yeah, but the level of knowledge with horses, like it's
taxi drivers. No, there's a lot of taxi drivers that you get who. Happened to me the other day. I'm like, are you enjoying the weather? And they're like, yeah. Any excuse to get out for a game of golf? I was like, okay. But then they start talking about golf and like you're not even engaging with it because you don't know about it.
Yeah.
They're like, me par is minus 11. And like, what? I don't fucking know what that means.
Didn't know you were handicapped, mate.
Sorry to hear that.
I play off 6 under. What do you play off?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you on about, mate? I play off 6 under.
I got 17 birdies.
Did you loaf one of them?
I loafed an eagle.
Half the clubs in the boot there. Do you want to see them? No, I'm on grand. Starts getting out in a car park, just teeing off. It's like,
now watch this swing.
Will you be able to turn the meter off, please, while we're here? While I'm watching the golfing.
While you're doing your practice swing.
Just up in the K Club watching him play. Like, can I go home now?
You're carrying these fucking clubs around.
Nearly there, swung. Do you want the sup of water or anything?
There's so much. Do you know, do you remember you were in the Bardgash Theatre doing a performance?
Yeah. on my live show.
Afterwards, when we went for a few drinks afterwards, there was a fella there. And he was saying, guess what my job is or whatever. And I was saying, OnlyFans. But no, he was a professional golfer. I'd never heard of him before and you wouldn't hear of him either. But there's just so many professional golfers that are on the tour.
On the circuit, yeah.
And the money that they make.
Really?
Even though you've never heard of them, they're way down the list. Weekend, like for a weekend of golf, like you'd get, I don't know, maybe 10 grand.
Just
if you came last.
Really?
But if you like making into the top 20 or something, you're making big bucks. And I feel like you can play until you're 60. Maybe.
Yeah,
later.
I feel like I could take golf up now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never, like, I've played pitch and putt and stuff. Every time I swing, I miss the ball. So eye coordination and hand coordination's a bit off. I think that's the easy part, is hitting it. So once you get that down, you're a fucking golfer, aren't you?
Yeah. It's hitting the ball. Like, how complicated can it be? If you get it, you get it. It's
like, Joe, yeah, aim it. Joe, are they actually
Joe put
aiming
on the green
it,
jacket? The green jacket in the Masters. If you hit it, you hit it. That's it. Thanks.
Put the ball in the hole. It's not that complicated.
T-shirts and all. If you hit it, you hit it.
He's fucking cracked it.
We were playing mini golf. The 5-year-old got a hole in one. Jesus. Anyone can put a bleeding. So anyone can put a ball.
Did you play mini golf in Tenerife?
Yeah.
Sam, behind the
in the green on the long mile. On the long mile road.
Yeah. Behind there, yeah.
The golden mile.
Played mini golf there, yeah, yeah. Shy.
You know, if you're a Tenerife resident, you have to you pay 30% less than the tourists.
On points and all?
Everything. On everything.
I just go. Ça va?
Ça va?
And then like, oh yeah, fucking tortoise, you're bleeding French, mate.
You have a card, you get a card. We were in a restaurant and I ordered like nachos and mince meat. What's it called that? Like fucking
taco. Yeah.
Chili con carne.
Horrible.
I ordered chili con carne and it came with some nachos and some rice and chili con carne. And it was tasteless, it was kind of crap. And then a Tenerife fella ordered. Same thing, chili con carne.
You got a nicer one?
Oh my God. It looked delicious. So I don't know what's nice one. I don't know what slop they're serving the tourists over there. Oh, but it's different to what the real fellas are getting.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
They're just like, it's just mad, like.
I think you should out them all. That they'd want that.
That's what they're after.
They're hoping someone does
that. You know what? I'm going to start saying it was great. Everyone should go there. Or the whole of Ireland on one weekend should just go to Tenerife and wreck their head.
Would you ever like dye your hair black and put on a little fake tan?
And a mustache?
And then put a, like develop a mustache and go and learn a bit of Spanish and just see if they'll give you the discount.
You have a card.
And
a residency.
Do they look at the card and check it out? And
what do you mean? Is this in the hotel or something?
No, everywhere. They get cheaper flights. The flights into Tenerife are cheaper.
The residents have a card?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, I thought you said
Soyan Park is 35% cheaper for residents.
I just say, I forgot my card. Like, where are you from?
Thanks, Dracula. Well, I forgot my card.
Fuck off back to Transylvania.
It turns into a bat and flies.
I want the chili con carne. How can we give him all the good chili con carne? Okay, Dracula.
and he's like, yeah, Claire Bourne, going on the skewer. That's going to be fun. Yeah. Why was I saying that?
God knows, Joe.
Who knows why I was saying that? Oh, because we were talking about mini golf. Because we were talking about golf. And I think golf is easy. I think it's a sport that anyone could learn at any age.
Mm.
And go to the top. Like, who is the most successful golfer that, like, Rory McIlroy was like 5 or something when he was like 5
recording us.
You recording me?
Just taking a photograph. Someone's just get a photograph recording. No. I don't know if you've noticed the other cameras here. I don't need to.
Yeah. What are you saying, Rory McIlroy?
There's videos of him on the Late Late Show, like chipping balls into baskets.
Like 10. Into the washing machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was the most successful golfer that started late in life?
Ooh. The most successful golfer to start late is Larry Nelson, who did not touch a golf club until he was 21.
Ooh.
That's a bit.
Despite his late start, he served in the US Army, learned the game from scratch, turned professional in 1971, and went on to win 10 PGA Tour events and 3 major championships.
Jesus.
Calvin Pete didn't start playing until he was 23, 12 PGA Tour events. And became one of the most accurate drivers in the history of the sport. Lee Trevino played a little bit as a child. Serious journey in golf didn't begin until his 20s. 6 major championships. And there's a fellow called Thong Chai JD, picked up golf at the age of 16. Served as a paratrooper, blah, blah, blah. But didn't turn professional until he was 30. And is a big deal on the DP World and Asian Tours.
What about anyone in the 30s?
No, 20s is.
Do you reckon that would be impossible to get to the tour? In their 30s,
I would
if they never
so.
Picked
I
up a
so.
Golf Physi- club.
Physically, you're on the decline too much at that stage. At 20s, you're still at your peak. I'm not sure you could.
But I mean, there's a fella that I know, and he can hit a ball.
Oh, yeah.
And like talking 300 yards, and then he can chip a ball and he can put a ball. He's as good as any professional I've ever seen, but he's just not professional. He does it as a hobby.
He's not as good as a professional.
I'm telling you, he is. He.
It's like seeing a lad that can do the keepy uppies. And then do all the ball skills.
Like
you go, street ball.
Street,
they wouldn't fucking last a second in the real game.
No.
This fella, I'm not saying that he'd win the Masters, but he could play on the tour. He could very easily play on the tour. I don't even know what the stages are. You couldn't have to go through the college system and everything, and you got to qualify to get on the tour. So that's all a pain in the arse, and that's why you couldn't have to start young, is to go through that system. And then, like, so if you're an Irish golfer, I don't know, I'm trying to explain something that I don't fully understand, but if you're an Irish golfer, you become a member of a club, and that member of a club, they propose people, like they suggest people for the tour, and then they're put on the school tour, I think it is.
Ah, yeah. I don't want to go to Fort Lucan.
And then if they do well in that, then they qualify into the tour.
I just thought it was like, if you're fucking good, go ahead.
No.
But you have to do all this fucking tears.
Is there like 200 players on the PGA Tour, is it?
So this is the PGA. The Tour Professional competing in tournaments are for prize money, or the PGA Professional. Both path demands a relentless commitment to mastering your gameplay. Tour Professional, this route focuses entirely on playing. You must achieve a scratch or plus handicap, plus 4 or plus 6, and compete in an elite amateur or college tournament before entering qualifying school for developmental tours. That's, you have to be good enough first, onto the college tournaments, and then qualifying school. The PGA Professional, this route is for those who want a career in the golf industry. It requires an apprenticeship or a degree in golf management. Oh, that's different, yeah. So you have to start, you have to be reach a level of scratch or plus 4.
Or plus 4, plus 5. I could do that. Mm. I think with a year's training, I think I could get that. That's like if nearly, it's worse than par.
If you aim to play on professional tours, you need to survive Q School, which is qualifying school. This involves a series of highly competitive multi-stage tournaments. You must advance through pre-qualifying, first and second stages before making it to the final stage. Successfully navigating a Q School earns you a tour card membership, allowing you to play on developmental circuits like the Corn Ferry Tour or the DP World Tour, with the ultimate goal of reaching the PGA Tour.
What,
so it's fairly involved.
Like, when you like never played golf before, and you went for a game of golf,
like Happy Gilmore,
who
like,
plays golf, and you put the ball down, and you whack it, and every fucking time you hit it, it's fucking like, literally like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, yeah. What would happen?
What would happen? Like, surely, like if you're that good and you didn't know about it for years, like. Someone would just
if
be like,
just that gifted.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see this cunt and people, crowds and all, like I'm literally just giving away the plot a bit to Happy Gilmore, by the way, but like you never know.
I don't know, man.
You could do it. Get the hockey stick out.
But any sport, like I think we talked about before, but like I just think like darts and stuff and golf and like surely there's a sport you haven't really tried to play, like, and you're actually fucking class at it. Yeah. Like you could play, you could pick up darts, I feel, in your 30s, and by this time in 10 years when you're in your, somewhere in your 40s,
I don't think
you could
so.
Be up on the Ali Pally.
I don't think so.
I think so. I think with darts,
I mean, what they say is the 10,000 hours. I think you need to be at least starting early 20s to get to the level.
That's a real challenge. That feels like a real
hard,
challenge.
It's
like,
tough going in. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I just want to like go back on his word and just go.
It's my, well, I love that story. Yeah, yeah. Harry Redknapp was best time, and every day he'd be driving into the training ground. And there was a young lad there. Oh, Harry, his boots, you know, hanging off his fingers, and his little kit bag. You know, give us a go, mate. And Harry like, oh my, go on, you know, keep driving in day after day after week after week. Harry, please, mate, give us a go. You know, Harry's like, fuck's sake, go on in. All right, go on, let's have you. He goes in, and he's shit.
Oh, I thought he scored a goal.
No, he's shit. Oh. Like, they put him into like amongst the professionals, knocking the ball back and forth. And the man gets all the gear on, full kit wanker. Now's my chance. He's rubbish. And Harry goes, get the fuck out. Like, honest to God, these lads think, you know, but when you get into the real deal, like, it's different. The levels are unattainable off the street.
What if you can't sing and then you try to become a singer? Could you become a professional singer with coaching?
I think so.
That's like, only a part of it. Singing is just almost, God forgive me, like, someone said recently in an interview that I recorded, and they're in quite a successful band, it was 5% of it is music. 95% you're a moving firm, moving gear.
Like, did you ever say
the business, the admin, the accountancy, the social media, it's all that.
One Direction before, when they were in the auditions.
Yeah.
Like back in the day when they were separate and they weren't One Direction yet. They're all shy.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, if as an example, I think Simon Cowell or Louis Walsh could take you and make you a superstar in
the machine.
6 months.
The machine can make anyone a star.
Yeah.
That, and it's more prevalent now than
Niall,
ever.
Like, Niall Horan now is a great singer, like.
Yeah, but I think he could always... But he's had professional training, he's had all the,
so that's
the advantages,
I mean, like,
the privileges of that world. It's
trend, like.
Plus, he could play guitar before, and he... Like, Harry Styles got a good voice.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, back then, they were crackly. Like, they like, you wouldn't give them a fiver on Grafton Street. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's... I thought I'd give fucking singers fivers on Grafton Street.
He's a darn.
Normally tenors.
Relax.
But, broke.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
And then, like, you listen to... I seen him doing a cover of a song, and I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
A cappella, like.
He's good.
He can sing. The boy can sing, yeah. I think... Some people aren't incredible singers, but they can hit a note, but they don't sound amazing.
Mm.
And then just with a bit of training, then you can become... You can achieve superstardom that way.
Maybe I'll give that a go.
Yeah, I think so. I think you should.
We have the comedy. You'd be just the next Lewis Capaldi, wouldn't you?
You'd be a triple threat. I don't know what the third thing is, but anyway.
Darts. He's a great singer, and you should see him throw a dart.
Oh man, all at the same time.
That'd be a good series, wouldn't it? Just trying everything.
Yeah,
just doing a stand-up routine and playing darts at the same time.
We're gonna write a Christmas number one. Let's. But even we were doing that Christmas song with Paddy, who was like a sound recordist, yeah, and he was able to teach us how to sing.
Yeah.
For a moment, I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
Oh, I can sing.
He's like, no, just do it like this. And then just don't go further than that. And then you're sing, and then I'm doing it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's like being pushed on a bike as a child.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I can fly.
Mommy, I can fly.
No one teach me how to cycle.
Oh.
Didn't have a dad.
Oh, sorry there.
Didn't have a dad.
It's mad that you can't cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
So weird.
I can drive a car though.
Can you
drive me mad? Drive me up the wall.
Drive up the wall, I'll tell you what.
Drive these nuts.
I'll tell you what. Is that it? We're going to head off then.
We have a bonus to do. No, you have to do a proper goodbye.
All right. See ya.
Just say that was. Thanks so much. Just do it properly now. Come on. We'll get it.
Thanks there, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. Welcome back, Joe. See ya, Ed. Thank you, listeners.
This is Thank you. Sincere. I'm loving it. This is lovely.
See, when you put the pressure on,
so much warmth.
Do it now properly. I'm like,
be nice to the listener.
This is like when I say, when I'm leaving me ma's house with the kids, I'm like, go give Nanny a hug. They're like, all right. And they like begrudgingly go on. Love you. Say it like you mean it.
Put too much emphasis on it now. Where it's never going to be sincere.
The pressure's on.
it's going to sound terrible every time we try it now. But no, I thought that was a good episode now. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Can't buy it now. Like, it's just, that it is what it is. I'll see you next week.
Good luck. Joe, do you want to say the thing?
Nope.
Okay,
book them.
'What's up, lads? Welcome back to Stále. We're here, we're live, and Joe has a big head on him. Like,
Joe, why aren't you talking to me?
Because you're not on Stále, Darren.
Darren, what are you doing? This isn't our room.
What do you mean it's not our room, Calvin? I literally just walked in the door. These are their chairs for the podcast. I recognise the chairs, like.
You walked into the wrong podcast. You had to hijack our recording, Darren.
No, I haven't. Joe, will you tell him?
Darren, if I'm over here, who are you talking to over there?
Stop you, will you? I'm recording a podcast.
No, seriously. What did you think this was? Did you not notice the two different people sitting in front of you?
Darren, this is actually very concerning. We're supposed to be in Studio B, what, 10 minutes late?
Now, hold on. Have I just been recording with these two lads the whole time, the talking bollocks fellas?
Every second of it.
Half off.
Mate, I think it's time.
For what?
To go to Specsavers.
That's what I need, is a pair of glasses, isn't it?
Should have gone to Specsavers. Darren.
All right, we get it, Calvin.